Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also co-hosting with me today in studio. And, Bill, the coronavirus is turning the world upside down. God is sovereign over all things. He introduces these bugs. He brought the plagues upon Egypt, and he took down the firstborn. I mean, think about tens of thousands of the firstborn sons of these folks in Egypt who were killed by the avenging angel. God is sovereign. He brings these things to the world, and yet man has more of a fear of the coronavirus than he has of the fear of God. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. That's the theme. But it's interesting how the coronavirus is bringing about some economic collapse. It's turning the world economy upside down. It's interesting how vulnerable the world economy is to these sorts of things.
How fragile.
Very fragile.
Man's plans are. I know someone whose wife is Chinese, and she went over to China prior to the coronavirus outbreak because her mother had broken her mother was sick in the hospital on one side of the town. Her brother had broken his leg, and he was sick on the other side of town, hospitalized. So she went over to assist, and she has a pass to get to the hospital. She can drive to the hospitals, but her report to her husband was that the streets are empty, that it is worse than what they're reporting.
Mm.
And, you know, it's questionable whether she will be able to get back for some time. And those are the reports that we're hearing from people who are able to get word out that the Chinese government, number one, is trying to control the situation, but they too are subject to a sovereign God, and they cannot, in all of their dictatorial powers and their tyrannical rules, cannot control what God has set in motion. And we're not saying that, you know, God is the author of evil. What we're saying is that we live in a fallen world. And as a result of a fallen world, there is disease, there is suffering, there is pain, and yes, there is death.
And he brings his judgment at will against the nations, and it would be well for them if they would fear him.
Yes.
I don't think they understand how fragile they are. But now you step back and say, wow, the fragility is overwhelming. The wobbliness, the tenuousness, the fragility of these systems, incredible. It's as if, you know, they build their towers so high they fall down. They get their towers built up to, you know, 600,000 feet in the air, and you just take a little finger and you just snap it. Just take your finger. Go ahead, right now. Just take your finger and snap it.
Yep.
That's all God has to do, and the whole thing comes tumbling down. But they don't realize that. They won't realize that. And I think the sooner that people wake up and realize they have got to teach the fear of God, the relevance of God, the significance of God, the involvement of God in this world, if we don't teach that to our children day to day, we have missed the fundamental building block of all knowledge concerning all things. And I want to get to that in just a moment, but it is ironic that that homeschooling is picking up somewhat around the world because of this. The whole cities in China going towards home education. It's incredible that that China is so pro-homeschooling these days. And Japan is shutting down its schools and going towards home education, at least for the time being. They're sending their assignments home to complete and submit for grading, apparently online. So there's some of that going on.
It's online distance learning.
Yeah.
Not necessarily home education, because still the fathers are not in charge of the curriculum, and the mothers teach only what has been sent to them. So,
but how is that different from charter schools and online charter schools and the home schools in America? It seems like the vast majority of people are still going to submit themselves to the ideas of a secular state, and their children will be subjected to the worldview that is naturalistic, materialistic, and atheistic. And that's basically the Vice President Joe Biden's worldview. That's what we're going to get. The creation-less, creator-less worldview that will be enforced upon homeschoolers in Japan and China and the United States. World Net Daily suggests that a vast, unplanned experiment in mass homeschooling could be unleashed on the United States. Evidently, that was referred to in a New York Times story highlighted by the Foundation for Economic Education. And the Hong Kong officials have also closed their schools for 2 months. So there is something of a large, unplanned experiment in mass home education going on in China, Hong Kong, Japan, and elsewhere around the world.
Yeah, in Colorado, we would call that a massive snowstorm.
Yeah. And it is happening according to the will and the purpose of God, and who knows but that this might involve an increase in interest in home education worldwide, which would be wonderful. And I think it's a good thing to see something of a decentralization of education. Centralized control of education has happened in this nation, and that, of course, is why the Department of Education has so much control over the tens of thousands of school districts across this country. And the centralization of control over the minds and the hearts of children is one means by which socialism, humanism, secularism, and the anti-God evolutionism that the Supreme Court has imposed upon this nation is pretty much universally accepted, or at least assumed. So, friends, it's for us to cheer along the decentralization, the collapse of the Towers of Babel. I mean, when they come down, we go, yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
We're happy that they're coming down.
We're not happy about the virus.
Nope.
We'll make that clear. We're not happy
nope.
about people having to suffer.
Nope.
But we're happy that those who are in positions of authoritarian power are suddenly brought up short and hopefully made to take a look in the mirror and say, I'm not in charge.
One little virus and a whole lot of fear-mongering and the world's towers crumble. The extreme wobbliness of our systems is mind-blowing. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, we have an urgent request for you. We are jumping on an opportunity to serve Jesus in one of the most practical and most needful opportunities of a lifetime. Christian families and churches are often looking to get out of their holy huddles and put feet to their faith. What about helping with the Rebuild Bahamas for Jesus project spearheaded by Generations? Is there a contractor in your church who can lead a team for us? Would you like to join another team already planning a trip? Just get to Fort Lauderdale and it's a 30-minute flight to the Grand Bahama. No big deal. We have the materials, the tools, the accommodations ready to facilitate the next team. And one more question. If you cannot help yourself, you know somebody who can. Check out our website now to join a team or provide your own team. Go to RebuildBahamasForJesus.org. That's RebuildBahamasForJesus.org. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Wow, Bill, with the coronavirus putting the entire world into a catatonic state of fear. And bringing the world economy to its knees, what did we lose? 4,000 points in the Dow Jones Industrial Average last week. Incredible what is going on with this little bug. And, something like 6 or 7 deaths in America, or maybe a few more, but nothing compared to the 8,000 who have passed away due to the influenza
right.
virus. So, nothing compared to the influence of malaria, the influence of influenza, et cetera, et cetera. Really, these numbers are very, very small in comparison these other diseases. But
yet fear has gone viral.
Oh, it's gone viral.
Yeah.
It is all over the place. The fear-mongering, the fear of the coronavirus, unbelievable. Oh, man, this is a testimony to Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I mean, when I hear people say, oh, the corona. There are people not even drinking Corona beer now, do you know that?
Yeah, I know. They think it's because
corona beer
is
yeah.
infected with a virus.
But when they say that, Bill, the first thing that occurs to me, wow, there is no fear of God before their eyes. You don't know the lack of the fear of God in people until you discover that they're fearing everything else.
And what you fear is what you will worship. And it's interesting that it's called the coronavirus. Because of the shape of it, it's shaped like a crown.
Mm.
And yet, we're to worship the one who wears the true crown, the King of the universe.
Amen.
We are to fear him and worship him. Instead, people tend to worship the creature rather than the Creator, whose name is blessed forever. And they're bowing down in fear to a bug rather than to the King of the universe.
You really think they're worshiping this bug?
Oh, because what you fear, That's what draws your loyalty. That's what draws mm-hmm. your attention. That's what you focus mm-hmm. upon. If you fear not having enough money, what do you fear? Okay.
Well, I think.
And what do you worship?
I think more than anything else, they're fearing death.
Yeah.
And they're in the bondage of that fear of death, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2.
So what they fear is what they worship.
Yep. All right, my friends. I think a lot of this is also due to the fact that modern education is almost entirely built upon not fearing God. This is the way people react. They react without fearing God and fearing the coronavirus. Why? Because even Christians or people who profess themselves to be Christians are not fearing God in their science classes. They're not fearing God in their history classes. The beginning of knowledge to the secularist is opposing the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is completely ignoring the fear of God. You know, it breaks my heart that even homeschool conferences are really seldom interested in the concept of the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge. It was the most basic and most important, most significant concept for education, yet the most foreign concept today. I went to visit a number of main homeschooling websites online to look for some reference to the fear of God, Bill. I couldn't find any.
Well, and part of that is understandable. They're dealing with details. Oftentimes, they're dealing with specifics. And so I'm not necessarily going to fault them for doing that, but we do need to circle back around and say, what is the foundation of everything that we do as home educators?
I think we forget.
It is the fear of the Lord.
I think we forget the foundations.
Yep.
I think we tend to forget the foundations. And one reason, Bill, is because the foundations are supposed to be assumed.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be under the carpet, but they don't ship up the carpet to look at what's under there. And the foundation stones are often not the fear of God.
Oftentimes that what happens is parents are so concerned about their student excelling academically. They fear not having credibility with the world. They fear not having acceptance with the world. They fear that their student will lag behind. And so instead of focusing on the foundation for all knowledge, which is the fear of the Lord, we get in the weeds and we begin to get lost in the details of what particular chemistry book are we going to use? Is it the one that will get my student recognized and accepted by the state school? Will my student get a scholarship? I've got to choose the right curriculum that is going to be exceptional in those areas, rather than saying we need to start with what does God's Word say?
Wouldn't it be great if the opening keynote of every homeschool conference in America began with the fear of God? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I mean, every one of them. Honestly, I'm not sure that I have ever been asked to keynote at a homeschool conference on the fear of God. I'm just throwing it out. Wouldn't it be interesting if we began with the fear of God in every one of our Christian homeschooling conferences? You know, I long for a God-centered view of everything, a God-centered view of science, and a God-centered people, a God-centered crowd, a God-worshipping crowd. It's anathema to the modern mind to bring worship into education. And the reason is that education is secular.
Right.
Period. So when a guy begins to sing "To God Be the Glory" in a chemistry classroom, or even a homeschooling conference, it could be kind of strange, out of place, unacceptable. Not everyone, but I'm just saying, there's something odd, there's something weird about worshiping God in a chemistry laboratory. You know, for a guy to stand up on his stool in the laboratory and just give praise and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And yet that's what happened with those who made great advances in science. Oftentimes, Isaac Newton would break out into praise in his notes as he was doing experiments, as he was formulating his theories. He would break out into praise to God because he understood that what he was doing was discovering the order that the Creator had put into the universe. And by discovering it, he was able to make advances in science which would benefit people. And yet, and we need to have that view The first view is we are people who recognize a creator, and we fear the creator. But once you fear the true creator, he removes fear of everything else. So I want to encourage people, yes, you should be concerned. Yes, you should wash your hands. Yes, you should cover your mouth when you sneeze and cough. But don't fear the virus. Fear God and put your trust in him, and he will give you the peace that passes all understanding. He will remove fear of every created thing. He is sovereign. He is in control.
Well, we need to take a look at what the Bible says, friends, as we radically change the way we view education and begin to incorporate this into our schools, our conferences, our homeschools around this country and around the world. We need to ask ourselves, what is this radical shift that the Word of God is giving to us and calling us to renew our minds in the area of knowledge and education, science, chemistry, history, literature, etc.? How do we bring the Word of God as a frontlet? How do we begin to incorporate the fear, the reverence, the worship of God on every page in our science textbooks and our history textbooks? Well, Proverbs 1:7, of course, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Matthew 10:28, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You get the sense, Bill, this is the 6,000 megaton nuclear bomb. You get the sense that this is the footer of all the footers in the foundation of the building of knowledge. You get that sense?
Yeah.
Like this is absolutely, absolutely, positively critical, absolutely must be the keynote at every single homeschooling conference in the world. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Luke 1, verse 50. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. That might include the coronavirus. Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Psalm 34:9, O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Psalm 112:1, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Philippians 2:12-13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Philippians 4:6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Proverbs 22:4, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Proverbs 16:6, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Exodus 20:20, Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she's to be praised. Psalm 145:19, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord your God, hold your hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And Matthew 6:34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its trouble. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Deuteronomy 6:24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. 1 Samuel 12:14, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well with you. Joshua 24:14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Proverbs 2 and verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Psalm 115:11, you who fear the Lord, trust him. He is their help and their shield. 2 Chronicles 17:10, and the Lord, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, and they made no war against Jehoshaphat. 2 Corinthians 5:11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are, as known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Well, Bill, I skipped about half of them, but do you get the message? Does anybody get the message out there? Is the fear of the Lord basic? Is it fundamental? Should it be the warp and the woof of our educational programs?
Well, I think you've read all the scriptures that say, yes, that's true. And yet, we tend to have a short-term memory as humans. We tend to rely on ourselves. We tend to rely on science. We tend to rely on those who provide solutions to problems, be they financial problems, be they health problems, and we look to our own devices rather than looking to God.
The message is clear, friends. We've got to fear God. It's the beginning of knowledge when it comes to science, when it comes to chemistry, when it comes to sexual education. We don't fear sexually transmitted disease and AIDS, and therefore keep his commandments. No, we fear God and keep his commandments. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom concerning the gospel is the fear of God. If we haven't really understood the sinfulness of sin and the judgment of God, if we don't understand the bad news from God's perspective and fear God first and foremost, will we ever seek deliverance, redemption, and salvation in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in order that he might pay for the fearful consequences of our sins? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to every single aspect of human knowledge. Fear God. There are two kinds of education, that which fears God and that which doesn't teach the fear of God. It's two kinds of curriculum. There's the curriculum that fears God, and that foundation is so obvious that it works its way into every page, every aspect of the knowledge that's conveyed in those pages. And then there is a curriculum that doesn't fear God and doesn't consider the fear of God to be the major point. There are two kinds of homeschooling conferences, two kinds of curriculum, and this is the dividing line. There is that which fears God and that which doesn't fear God. There are two kinds of Christian churches. Those that see the fear of God as fundamental, and those that don't. So stay away from the churches that do not consider the fear of God as the foundation. the fundamental in knowledge. Stay away from all forms of education that do not emphasize the fear of God as foundational in every subject. Bill, I think we need a new movement in America. I'm calling for a new movement, not a homeschooling movement. Bill, I'm done with the homeschool movement. What I'm looking for is a fear God movement. Are you with me? It's more fundamental. I mean, there are homeschoolers, weekend homeschoolers. There are homeschoolers who are humanistic and atheistic, self-consciously so. But what about, you know, what about the fear? It seems as we're trying to identify that basic, you know, reformational element that's required. I mean, you don't really like the public schools very much. I get that from you. But isn't there some fundamental problem with it? And what is the fundamental problem? And what should characterize a reformational Christian element in education, in our homeschool conferences? It's got to be the fear of God.
What should be the alternative to a secular worldview?
That's right.
A biblical worldview.
That's right.
And you start with what's the nature of God and what's the nature of man? What's our responsibility before him? How are we to respond to the creator of the universe? And we are admonished in those scriptures that you read that we are to fear God. And once again, once you fear the true creator, because what you fear is what you worship, then he will remove fear of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul wrote about. Neither height, nor depth, nor life, nor death, nor basically any created thing can separate us from the love of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Once you fear God, then he makes you fearless before people. And is that not what parents want their children to be, to grow up to
be? I think so.
They want to be fearless before the peer pressures of the day, however they're presented to them. And that is only done when you fear the true creator. Now, I often ask students, I said, because they look at me quizzically when I talk about the fear of God, that we are to fear God. And they look at me kind of sideways, and I said, well, do you fear your parents? And they all nod eagerly. I said, why do you fear your parents? Well, only when I do something wrong. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right, because they discipline you. You know, it's we fear those in authority, but they don't fear their parents in the sense of they're not terrorized by their parents,
mm-hmm.
because they know their parents love them. And yet, they only fear them if they do something wrong. Once you fear God, then he removes the fear, and he calls you his child.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put your trust in him and him alone, then fear evaporates, as long as you're obeying his word.
Well, it's a constant reverence and awe and honor and, as you say, eventually worship that derives from that fear. So, friends, what I'm calling for is a fearing God Christian education movement in America. The fearing God movement. Not the homeschooling movement, and not the Christian school movement, but the movement that starts with the foundation of the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. A curriculum that fears God. That's what we're after as part of our Christian discipleship curriculum program. The biggest lesson learned in history and science has got to be the awesomeness of God. The biggest lesson at Calvary is the awesomeness of God. The biggest lesson in any historical event is the awesomeness of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the goodness of God. And we need to step back in awe of what God is doing. Children should remember at least one thing from their history class, that God is awesome, that God is sovereign, that God brought World War II, that God is in control, that God brings times of blessing, God brings times of judgment, God's in control. Children should remember that Jesus is bigger than Caesar. Jesus is more impressive than Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the not so great. By the way, Alexander was not so great.
Yeah.
He was a drunk, killed one of his best generals in a fit of anger. He really wasn't that great. But Jesus is bigger than Alexander the Great. And that's what your 7th grader, that's what your 8th grader, 9th grader, 10th grader needs to get as they study our world history, preparing the world for Jesus and taking the world for Jesus. We want a curriculum that fears God, that praises God, acknowledges God, and honors God, and glorifies God. You want a curriculum that includes praises for God in every chapter. If the author doesn't want to praise God, why should the children who read his books want to praise him? If the author is the teacher, if the authors don't fear God, then they're not going to worship him, as Bill just said. So friends, I think this is basic. This is the most fundamental thing. If you're stepping out and saying, now, what would a Christian curriculum look like? It's not just a Bible verse pasted on like a post-it note, kind of like a little holy water poured over a piece of curriculum. No. It's there's got to be the fear of God, the worship of God, the praise of God working through the warp and the woof of the curriculum. A curriculum that fears God will respect his revelation over all the secular histories, which, by the way, includes the creation story versus the evolution story. Okay? A curriculum that fears God, a history curriculum that fears God, is not going to bend the biblical history to fit the secular history. They're going to bend the secular history to fit the biblical history. And that's what we do in our world history. As we talk to the life of Joseph in Egypt, as we talk to the life of Esther in Persia, as we talk to the life of Daniel in Babylon. And friends, here's one more thing. All the rest of world history needs to be told, but the central features need to be the fall of man, the flood, Abraham in Egypt, Joseph in Egypt, Moses in Egypt, Hezekiah's prayer against Assyria, Jonah in Assyria, Daniel in Babylon, Esther in Persia, and of course, Jesus. He needs to be at the center of all of it. All of world history after Christ must be centered around Jesus and Polycarp and Augustine of Canterbury and Patrick of Ireland, Boniface and Christian David of the Moravian Brethren and John G. Payton, the missionary to, etc. So you say, well, who are these people? Well, the very centerpiece of history. You say, well, I haven't really read about that. Well, that's because these constitute the very essence of the kingdom of God over 2,000 years, and that kingdom is more important than whatever the Spanish slave traders were doing and the great empires of the world were doing, building their empires just to see them fall down. So, friends, I encourage you to a radically different approach to history, a radically different approach to science. There was ever a time that we need to bring back the fear of God, the centrality of Christ, and the Word of God as a frontlet on every page of our curriculum. It would be now, before God sends his judgment down upon the nations. I truly believe now is the time to reform the way we teach our kids. We are at the hind end of secularism. Bill, I think these nations are crumbling. There's no question, the schools are crumbling, the socioeconomic systems are crumbling. We're in an age of decline in the Western empires. Now would be a great time to bring Christ back to the center. That's what we're saying. And I'd encourage you to check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at our website, generations.org. or KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.